Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll speak to the captain and the chief of the boat of the USS Minnesota, SSN 783, on a recent trip to Naval Station Norfolk, Norfolk, Virginia, when we visited to witness the commissioning of the boat into the United States Navy on Saturday, September 7th, 2013. We also took a tour of the boat that we'll share with you, and we were able to speak one-on-one to the Secretary of the Navy, the Honorable Ray Mabus, about the importance of this event, which we will share with you later in the show. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and a chance for us to talk about what's being done and what help is available for our service members and their families. Just last month, the Minnesota Department of Health issued a report that indicated that suicides in 2011 surged for the steepest increase in more than 13 years. Suicide is indeed a societal problem. In addition to local, state, and federal resources available to all citizens regarding suicide prevention, in the Minnesota National Guard, we have placed a special emphasis on suicide prevention education within our ranks. Our comprehensive soldier and family fitness program teaches life skills to service members and their families. Our trainers are helping service members cope and deal with life issues in a healthy and beneficial manner, and implementing resilience training throughout the force. We also have suicide intervention officers spread throughout our ranks who receive special training to respond to service members in crisis. They help identify at-risk behaviors and act as a first line of defense for service members who might be contemplating suicide. Developing resilient National Guardsmen requires a comprehensive and collaborative approach. We must encourage our soldiers and airmen and their families to develop their coping skills and come forward and seek assistance when things become more than they can handle. There is no shame in seeking help.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we were honored to be able to witness the commissioning of the USS Minnesota, a nuclear-powered fast-attack Virginia-class submarine, on Saturday, September 7th, at a time-honored commissioning ceremony at Pier 12, Naval Station Norfolk, in the shadow of the aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt. This commissioning weekend was one of the finest in recent naval memory due to the extraordinary efforts of Brian Scahn, retired Commander Dave Hutton, and the Commissioning Committee of the Twin Cities Council of the Navy League. They've been helping bring this boat to life from the keel laying a few years ago to the enclosing the hull and christening ceremony last year, sea trials during 2013, and through to the formal commissioning and acceptance into the United States Naval Fleet on September 7th. The Naval League has brought the captain and the crew to Minnesota many times, and we've been fortunate enough to have them on the show several times. The Navy League has also raised thousands of dollars to bring the crew of the boat and provide private funds for the boat's fabulous commissioning book, lunch for the crew of 137 the day prior to the commissioning, the Friday evening formal program, and lunch following the ceremony on Pier 12. It's difficult to describe the amount of time, energy, money, and love that the Navy League put into this effort over the last few years, but please trust me when I say it was impressive. So now here's our interview with the commanding officer of the USS Minnesota, Captain John Fancher, straight from Norfolk Naval Station. Captain, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me, sir.
Captain, bringing a boat to life takes a long time. I know the last time you were on, we were talking about you lay the keel and then you had the christening. You've been out to sea trials, and now tomorrow is going to be the commissioning of the USS Minnesota, and that's really acceptance into the fleet as a part of the fleet, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Up to this moment, we've been referred to as Pre-Commissioning Unit Minnesota. Tomorrow, we'll actually be called USS Minnesota, be part of the fleet. It's really the culmination. For the shipbuilder, it's a culmination of 5 years of construction. For the crew, it's a culmination of about 3 years of training and having taken the boat to sea and tested it out and seeing that the boat performs flawlessly and that the crew's well-trained and we're ready to operate.
Sir, I think it's interesting to note that we've talked about this before, but you and a lot of your crew have been on site as the boat has been constructed and put together. That must give you some incredible knowledge and comfort in your ability to operate the boat at sea.
No, absolutely. We, like I said, we about 50 of the nucleus crew of the Minnesota and myself have been around for about 3 years. We've seen things that, quite honestly, nobody will ever see again on the Minnesota because they just won't ever be accessible until they tear it apart 30, 35 years from now. And, you know, it kind of gives you some insight into how the submarine operates, and if something goes wrong or something's not quite right, that we think we know exactly why it's not happening, and so we can go about and fix it and continue operating.
Sir, this is my understanding. This is the third ship in the Navy that's named after Minnesota. How do they decide how to name a boat, and how did we get it for Minnesota?
The naming of ships in general, the Secretary of the Navy controls that. Usually it's to honor, you know, there's various things that we honor with the naming of ships. In terms of honoring a state, every state in the Union supports the military in some way or fashion. And that's just a small way the Navy and the military can basically honor back to the state. Previously, like you said, this is the third Minnesota. There was one back during the Civil War. There was one back in Teddy Roosevelt's Great White Fleet, BB-22, and now this one. There hasn't been a Minnesota for about 92 years because that second Minnesota was decommissioned back in the 1920s. There were other ships like Duluth and Minneapolis-St. Paul. The most recent Minneapolis-St. Paul was a submarine, and it was decommissioned about 6 years ago. And right around the time it was decommissioned, the Secretary of the Navy reported that the 10th Virginia-class submarine was going to be named USS Minnesota.
And we're happy for that. Captain, I understand the USS Minnesota was completed early, and you've been out at sea trials for many, many months. How many days or weeks have you been at sea, and how does she handle?
Well, she handles great. The crew performs great. The sea trial started early May, and we've been basically doing sea trials and certifications and inspections ever since, on and off. We'd go out for 2 or 3 weeks, come back in for a week or two, go back out for 2 or 3 weeks, and that's pretty much been the schedule. So, I mean, if you want to do the math, we've probably been at sea for about 6 to 7 weeks so far.
Captain, we're over here at the carrier docks because that's where the commissioning ceremony is going to happen, and the Minnesota's in the water, so we're not seeing much of her, maybe 15-20%, I'm assuming. How can you describe to our listeners what type of weapon system is it? How terrific of a boat is the USS Minnesota?
It was designed after the Cold War, so the designers took a look at the future and thought, well, we're probably going to have to handle littoral warfare, which is kind of like close inshore warfare a little bit more. It can still do all the normal submarine warfare areas like anti-submarine warfare, shoot torpedoes, anti-surface warfare, shoot cruise missiles if it needs to. But it's specifically designed to also work with Special Operations Forces SEALs. We have a lock-in, lock-out chamber specifically for them. And then also what we do when not in wartime would be what I'll just call surveillance and reconnaissance. Have lots of pretty good sensors on board to watch anybody that needs watching.
So, sir, it's dwarfed a little bit by these aircraft carriers, but it's a heck of a weapon system and a good addition to the Navy, isn't it?
Yes, sir. The Virginia-class and the Minnesota is an incredible weapon system, incredible asset for the Navy, and just excited that tomorrow we'll actually be able to start operating with the Navy.
And, Captain, I understand you were recently promoted.
Yes, sir. I've been in for just over 22 years, and I made captain. It's pretty weird. I realize that for the last 12 or 13 years, I've been looking in the mirror and seeing oak leaves for lieutenant commander and commander, and every time I look in the mirror now, I still haven't quite got used to the eagles.
Captain in the Navy, I guess you're going to have to make a career of it, sir.
I'm pretty sure there's a career in here somewhere for me.
Captain, we're looking forward to a tour of the boat, and we're going to try to do a good job of an audio tour so our listeners can get a feel for it, and then we'll talk to your chief of the boat, Randy Reed, later. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, I just, you know, commissioning is the culmination of, like I said, 3 years for the crew. The crew's been doing great. We when we went out on sea trials, we had so many accolades given to us from various inspection organizations about not only for the boat but also for the crew and how well we got ready for it. You know, when we go out and start operating with the Navy, you know, the Minnesota is going to go around the world eventually, you know, in pieces, parts on various deployments. And along with the United States flag, there will always be that brow banner that says USS Minnesota.
Well, Captain, we appreciate the invitation to come out and witness the commissioning of the USS Minnesota and all the time you spend with us in Minnesota and today during a very busy time. And best of luck to you, sir, and the best of luck to the Minnesota and your great crew.
Thank you, sir.
Coming up next, we'll take an audio tour of the USS Minnesota. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. The USS Minnesota is the 10th of a projected 30 Virginia-class attack submarines. She's the third U.S. Navy ship named for the state of Minnesota. She is 377 feet long, has a beam of 34 feet, and her speed is greater than 25 knots. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. As I said, we were privileged to go to the commissioning of the USS Minnesota on September 7th, and we were allowed to take a private tour of the boat, and our guide for that tour was Chief Mike Herman, and here's some audio from that tour.
Chief, tell us where we are and what we're going to see.
All right, so right now we're in forward compartment upper level. We're as far aft as we're going to be able to get today. Everything that you see behind me is the propulsion spaces, includes the reactor compartment, the main engines, all that. It's basically the way we push the ship through the water. So we're approximately about 20 feet just forward of where we are, and it's a big difference between where we were and where we are now. There's just some benign electrical equipment back there. Right here, you know, 20 feet away, we've got berthing areas. So if you look around, there's about six little six-man bunk rooms, six guys to probably about the space of, you know, half a walk-in closet, to put that in perspective. Just forward of where we're at now, you have the lockout trunk. It's a pretty large area. It's what allows the Virginia class to do special operations, be able to, you know, send a SEAL team ashore unnoticed from a submarine at sea. Just off to the left, you have a crew's head. So just your standard bathroom. There's one shower, two toilets in there, you know, a couple more, and you're looking at maybe three showers and a half dozen toilets for about a crew of 120.
Chief, where are we at now?
All right, we're just forward of the lockout trunk, and we're standing under the weapon shipping hatch, right? So if you look above, it's not very big. Maybe about a little over 2 feet in diameter. But as you can tell, we're not standing in the torpedo room. So all the weapons that get loaded on board, all the torpedoes, all these decks that we're standing on and we'll be walking on for a little bit of this tour, all get elevated, and the torpedoes slide down basically a rail down into the torpedo room, and then we move them from there.
So the torpedoes come in from outside of the boat here, and then you open up the decks, and down they slide to the, I assume, the torpedo room.
Yes, which is two decks down, two decks below.
You sure pack a lot of gear into a small space, Chief.
We don't make it easy, but we work. We do it.
Chief, I'm amazed you've got it. There's no wasted space on a submarine, cramped quarters, and you're a big guy. How many years have you been in the Navy?
I've been in for 14 years.
Been on submarines most of that time?
All that time, with the exception of some school and a little tour as an instructor duty, but done about 10 total years on submarines.
How did you like the sea trials when the last few months?
Sea trials were great. There's a lot of things that we only ever do once and we'll never do again, and this ship will never do again. So it was really cool being part of that and you know, seeing some of those tests that not everybody gets to see.
And the boat performed well?
Oh, absolutely. It's basically a clean sweep coming through sea trials. You know, boat handled well, and the crew did awesome. Nothing but high praise from both the shipyard and the Navy alike.
Great, Chief. Where are we headed next?
All right, we're going to head down into engine and middle level. But before we do that, I just wanted to point out that probably didn't notice, but we're standing right next to a hose reel here. and a couple fire extinguishers. So throughout the boat, you're going to see these all over the place, and basically it allows us to fight any fire that develops at sea, because one of the worst things that could happen at sea, especially in an enclosed environment, is a fire. So with these throughout the ship, and then specifically these hose reels, which is a little different for a Virginia class, this will allow one person to rig a hose and fight the fire. Normally you would need two for a soft hose. So as the Navy kind of, consolidates a lot of the manning, and we see that on Virginia class, this really allows us to, stay on top of those casualties if they were to occur.
Looks like some pretty good equipment, and it sounds scary just talking about a fire on board a submarine, Chief. Hope you never have one.
On my first ship, Minneapolis St. Paul, we did have one, but it wasn't anything major, and it's one of those things where the crew trains over and over again, that even at the first sign of smoke, before you know it, power's secured, and you got guys putting CO2s on it, and the fire's out before it was even a fire. So we use the term fire even for smoke. So I've never seen flames on board a submarine. I've seen some smoke, but the crew's so well trained that within 30 seconds of somebody recognizing that, it's out, and we're wrapping up and calling it a day.
So Chief, we moved down the deck. It looks like we're in a galley in a dining hall.
Right. Yeah. We're right now we're standing in the mess decks. As you can see, there's about five tables. Four tables will fit six people comfortably. One will fit four. All right, so if you do the math, it's not much room for a crew of 135. So you really get in the habit of getting your food, sitting down, eating, getting up, and moving on, making room for the next guy. But this is kind of our one resting place for the crew. So during non-meal times, guys will be up here playing cards, watching movies, what have you.
So you must eat in shifts and have certain hours that the galley's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner?
Yep. Typically underway, we have four meals a day, just coinciding with our rotation. So the third meal being mid-rats, served at midnight. So typically before every watch, guys will get a meal, and then they'll get a meal off going when they get relieved.
So how's the galley equipped? Can they put out some pretty good stuff?
Oh yeah, they can put out some really good food, and the hardest part of being on a submarine is finding the space to put exercise equipment, but we really need that exercise equipment for some of the food these guys kick out of that galley.
Good to hear the food is too good, Chief.
Yeah. As you can see, right up here to right-hand side, it's all the food prep area. Take a look back, Seaman Vaney back there. He's getting lunch ready. He's already got some of the stuff out on the line, so expect to see a line foreman here shortly. To get at some of this food, especially the duty section guys today. Probably work up quite an appetite with all those rehearsals this morning.
Looks good and smells good. We better move on before we get in the way, Chief. Where are we now, Chief?
All right, so right now we're standing in the wardroom. It's just forward of the galley where all the food prep was. This is the officers' space, their lounge area for non-meal times. It's also where they eat their meals. We also conduct training in here, even the enlisted. Just because we're so short on space, we do utilize every place on board. So when it comes to training, a lot of times, we even do training in the wardroom, mess decks, what have you. Any corner we can find on this boat, probably where we're going to be doing training.
We're getting and seeing the message, Chief. It's multi-use space, and you've got a lot of stuff packed into a tight space here.
Yeah, absolutely. And this space would even double as a in the event of a mass casualty or something like that, multiple injured personnel, if some serious were to occur, this space would also double as the triage area in order to handle all those people.
So this must be the heart of the ship, Chief. Is this the control room?
It is, and it is quite more spacious on a Virginia class than it is on a 688, and primarily because on a 688, the control room is actually located in the upper level, where we were before, kind of where the berthing area was. So you were really limited by the contour of the hull. Down here, much larger space, about 34 feet across, and fit a lot more equipment. So as you take a look around, on the left, the port side over there is all sonar. Right, so that's where all the sonar techs will be. You know, they're the ears of the ship and the eyes, really. To my right, behind where I'm standing here, is fire control. So any type of any target out there that we want to set our sights on, that goes through fire control. If you look behind where you're standing right now, that's actually the navigation plot. So we've done away with the paper charts of old, and mostly electronic now. If you look at this panel right here, you can see the photonics mast. So it's not like the periscope of old with mirrors and all that. It's all fiber optic and video cameras now. So it's what allows us to have the control area down in middle level here. Next, we'll head down to lower level, and we'll start back in the machinery room and work our way up forward to the torpedo room.
Please stay with us on Minnesota Military Radio, and we'll be back with more of the tour of the USS Minnesota from Norfolk, Virginia, right after this. Construction of the USS Minnesota began in February 2008. The ship was named by the Secretary of the Navy on July 15, 2008, and the keel was laid on May 20, 2011. Now let's go back to more of the audio tour of the USS Minnesota with Chief Mike Herman.
Chief, I see a lot of equipment. Where'd you bring us?
Yep, right now we're in the auxiliary machinery room. Just inboard of us here is the diesel generator. It's our backup source of power. So in the event that you know, we had had an issue back aft with the reactor and had to shut her down, this diesel generator would be able to provide us power. Come up to snorkel depth, we'd still be able to do it relatively unseen. Stick a mast up above the water and be able to run this diesel and provide electrical power in the event of emergency.
How long can you stay submerged then when you're out on a mission?
Really, the only thing that limits us is food. And typically go out on a deployment, about a 90-day loadout is typical. So we bring enough food, head out for 90 days. We can go out, stay submerged for 90 days plus. Depends on how long you're willing to eat buttered noodles and rice.
Okay, we're on the tour, and I'm looking at a very tiny room with one washer and dryer. This is for the whole crew?
Yeah, absolutely. It's for the whole crew. You know, 135, 140 guys. You know, each division gets their one day a week to do laundry, and we got to get everybody through there as quickly as possible.
Chief, we're in the chief's quarters now. Is that where we are?
It is. And if you look around, I mean, it's not that big. You got a small table, some bench seating. You can get seven there if everybody's, you know, willing to get really familiar with one another. We do have a TV, so it's typically where we spend our downtime.
So, Chief, we've come into a very extraordinary room on your boat. There's some space here.
Yeah, there is. It's really multi-purpose. As you can see, we're kind of standing in the middle of some gym equipment, so this does double as our gym underway. But this is the torpedo room. Half of it right now is taken up by a berthing module.
I'm amazed at all the equipment and the tight spaces, Chief. You, after 14 years, you're used to this.
Absolutely. Like I said, you know, I joined the Navy. I was 6'3". I'm 6'2" now, so I think I've hit my head sufficient time to at least grow in the submarines. But yeah, I wouldn't trade this for the world. I enjoy what I do and get a new batch of guys every so often and enjoy that. Enjoy molding the sailors and submariners of the future. Shipyard period, most people, you know, may think of a shipyard period as shore duty. It was far from any shore duty I've ever been on. It was probably one of the most rigorous portions of my career. I'm glad to have it behind me, but like I was talking about earlier, there's some things that you only do every, you know, once in a lifetime of a ship, so it was really good to see that. Taking her out to sea, Minnesota's awesome. She's a great ship.
Chief, a big opportunity in your career to be a part of bringing this boat to life, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I'm starting to run out of spaces on my wall, on my I Love Me wall at home with the just the amount of stuff from the state of Minnesota and the commissioning committee that we've gotten. So may have to start, you know, taking over some of my wife's walls with my plaques and everything else.
Chief, I want to thank you for taking the time to conduct a tour for us today. This is Chief Mike Herman on the USS Minnesota.
That was our audio tour of the USS Minnesota, and now here's our interview with Chief of the Boat, Master Chief Randy Reed.
Chief, how long have you been with the USS Minnesota? I understand you know more about how it was put together than maybe anyone but the captain.
Well, we'll see about that. I've been here about 2.5 years now.
And so how long has the crew been with you? Or did they join in some at 50 to start with and then more as it went on?
Yeah, the first 50 showed up October of 2010, and then they've come along in increments all the way up as soon as last April.
So, Chief, can you tell me, how did the crew interact with the construction crew? Were you actually right there when they were putting this all together?
As much as they would let us, because due to the nature of the construction work, sometimes we couldn't be involved with it. But a lot of the times the crew was there because they get to see the various portions of the submarine being put together. They get to work with the shipyard, the shipbuilders, putting the equipment together, placing the equipment in their spaces. So those are the true experts. Because they build these, they've built several of these. So the crew was working with them hand in hand, asking a lot of questions, learning a lot about their spaces and their equipment as it was coming together right in front of their eyes, which is better, I think, from a standpoint of when you go to a submarine that's already put together, you don't get to see that process. There's parts of the submarine that you can't see, you won't ever see. So I think that the crew being involved with the build process early, they get to see the various portions of the submarine. They get to learn about it early. They take ownership of it. And it's just it's been an exciting process.
It certainly makes sense that if you're going to operate this vessel and take it to sea, watching it put together has to give you some confidence in when you have to maintain it and keep it running when you're out on a mission.
It's had its vantage points, and the crews really liked it too. And we've relied heavily on the more experienced sailors to really hammer home that, hey, you're provided an opportunity here that not everyone in the submarine force gets.
So, Chief, how did the sea trials go, and how many times were you out?
Sea trials went excellent. The crew performed excellent. We've got to push the submarine to its operational limits, which sometimes you don't always get to do with a submarine that's been in commission and been operational for a while, because really the shipbuilders and the testers, people doing the testing, they want to see how far it can go and if it breaks, what the stress points are on it. So we got to operate it at its maximum limits, and really exciting. We got to do a lot of neat stuff, and it's been a continual process since May. Every time we go out, there's some kind of form of testing that we have to do. Nothing is as extreme as sea trials was, pushing the ship to its operational limits. Now it's more electronics testing. Our sonar, we just finished up with a weapons proficiency testing down south off the coast of Bahamas. So it's been exciting. Been great to go out and push the ship to its limits. And the crew has performed excellent. All their training and qualifications and hard work is really paid off for them, which has been difficult because all along in the early stages, we're in a building. As the crew is showing up, we have laptops, and they're doing a lot of studying, a lot of training. They're seeing the submarine put together, but they can't quite operate it just yet. So it's kind of like holding candy out in front of them, but telling them they can't have it just yet. So going out doing sea trials, they got to operate everything to its maximum limits, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Chief, we understand this is the third vessel in the United States Navy to be named after Minnesota. And tomorrow at 10 o'clock, it's going to be commissioned and accepted into the fleet. And you've got a connection back to one of the first ships, don't you?
We do. One of the things that we've been working really hard on is we've worked trying to get the bell and the helm, or the ship's wheel, from the Civil War steam frigate Minnesota, the very first Minnesota. The Minnesota Historical Society has had it on loan and display in Nag's Head, North Carolina, at a museum called the Graveyard of the Atlantic Fleet. So the skipper and I went down about almost 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and found it, seen it, and we started building this relationship with both museums and trying to get it on display, get those items on display here for the commissioning. And last breaking news yesterday was it's going to be here today at 1300, and just really excited about that. The first Minnesota was involved in the Civil War battle of Hampton Roads in this area. So the last time that the bell and the helm from the Minnesota was here was 151 years ago. So being a chief petty officer, we're all about history and heritage, and teaching our junior sailors about that history and heritage. I'm really excited to have those two pieces here. So they're going to be on display here on the pier. We've also located the Silver Service from the battleship Minnesota, which was part of the Great White Fleet. BB-22 was the hull number. Can't get that out on the pier. They're a little nervous about it being out in the salty air. However, we're going to have it tonight at the chairman's reception. So, again, more history, more heritage of Minnesota. It would have been really exciting to have all three pieces, you know, those two pieces here on the pier with the new Minnesota coming into commissioning. But I couldn't get that. I got the bell and the helm out here. So, again, I'm really happy about that. We're going to have the Silver Service tonight down at the chairman's reception, the dinner that's tonight. So that'll be on display. I'd love to get it on the submarine, but, however, the punch bowl and the tray that it sets on is upwards of around 48 inches in diameter and length, so it's just too hard to get it down on the submarine.
Chief, it's been a long journey. You got the boat is complete. It's going to be accepted into the Navy tomorrow. Going to be a big day. Any final thoughts for our listeners on this incredible job and the training that you've done with your crew?
Every trip that we've had going back to Minnesota to you know, educate folks that, hey, you've got a submarine named after your state now. It has just been great. We've been received with open arms, and it's just been a phenomenal journey over the last 2.5 years for me, 3 years for some of the others. So just very proud to operate the submarine, very proud to put it into commission tomorrow, and hopefully we can continue that. You know, we fostered a great relationship. Hopefully we can continue that relationship for the life of the ship. And so just excited, really excited.
Chief, thanks for spending some time with us today, and good luck to you and good luck to the boat.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for coming down. Glad to see you again, and looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
From the USS Minnesota, that was Chief of the Boat, Randy Reed.
The USS Minnesota was launched and began sea trials on October 27, 2012. She was commissioned and accepted into the fleet on September 7, 2013. She carries a crew of 137 sailors and can go to a depth of greater than 800 feet. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We'll have more from our visit to Norfolk, Virginia, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
The USS Minnesota, the Navy's newest attack submarine, was christened on October 27, 2012. The USS Minnesota is part of the Virginia-class submarines, which are designed for deep ocean and shallow water operations. These submarines conduct anti-submarine warfare, anti-surface ship warfare, strike warfare, special operation force support, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, and much, much more. The stealth, mobility, firepower, and endurance enable them to support and conduct critical missions. On September 7th, at the Norfolk Naval Station in Virginia, for the third time in our state's history, the USS Minnesota was commissioned and joined the United States Navy. The command and crew will be wearing our state name on their uniforms and will be representing our country and state across the world. In the history of this great state, we have become known to be the first to the fight when our country has called.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Immediately following the commissioning of the USS Minnesota and the acceptance into the fleet, we were able to attend a Q&A press conference that was attended by the Secretary of the Navy and the Commander of Naval Forces. And just following that, we were lucky enough to get a one-on-one conversation with the Secretary of the Navy. Here he is, the Honorable Ray Mabus.
For those of us in Minnesota, thank you, sir. We're thrilled.
Well, so are we. We get the most advanced warship in the world, a great addition to our fleet, with a great name, named after a state that has provided us so many people that have served our country in so many different capacities, and people that is unmatched in patriotism to this country.
Sir, this is the third ship in the fleet to be named after Minnesota. Could you tell us briefly how that works?
There are a lot of cool things the Secretary of the Navy gets to do. One of them is to name every ship that sails for the United States Navy. And as was noted during the ceremony, it's been a while since Minnesota has had a ship. name for that state, and it was an oversight that, or an omission that needed to be fixed. And I'm very glad it has been fixed and that we have Minnesota back in the fleet.
Mr. Secretary, I'm curious, our listeners back home, they understand it's a Virginia-class submarine, the 10th in the series, and most of our listeners probably only know what they've seen in the movies about submarines. But you've said this is a terrific platform and a modern marvel. Can you explain just a little bit, what does the addition of the USS Minnesota mean to the fleet?
Minnesota and all of our submarines can do an amazing variety of missions. You're right, most of the people think of submarines that they've seen in movies. This submarine can do that, but it can also get in close to shore. It can do intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance. It can be a part of the fight against terrorists and extremists. It can deliver our special forces to places they need to be, unseen, undetected. It will patrol the world's oceans, doing things that we can talk about and things that we can't talk about. But the ultimate goal and the ultimate job of this submarine is to keep our country safe.
Mr. Secretary, as we've gotten to know the captain and the crew, we've learned that the crew is tremendously well-trained, and the sea trials, as I understand, went fantastically. The sailors in the fleet make everything work, don't they, sir?
They certainly do. And I was in 40 years ago. I was on a ship in the North Atlantic, the USS Little Rock, a cruiser. And it's a very different Navy. You and I served with some excellent people, with some very dedicated people, very patriotic people. We couldn't touch the service of today, the skill level, the dedication level. The stress that we put on this force in terms of deployments, in terms of how long they're at sea, in terms of the missions we ask them to do and the platforms we ask them to operate. And they represent the very best of what we have in America.
Mr. Secretary, on behalf of the people of Minnesota, I'd just like to thank you for giving us an opportunity to have another ship in the fleet, another boat in the fleet with the name of Minnesota. And thank you for taking some time with us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Great. Thank you very much.
Following the commissioning ceremony of the USS Minnesota, there was a luncheon on Pier 12 at Naval Station Norfolk. At the luncheon, we were able to catch up with Senator Amy Klobuchar and Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. Now, here's those interviews.
Senator, what a day.
What a beautiful day. As Ellen noted, it's a Navy day. It's gorgeous, and it was the most exciting moment, of course, was seeing the crew get on the submarine. And just the pride that we have in Minnesota. It's been 92 years since there's been a ship named after our state. We're patient, but that's a long time. And it's such an innovative ship, and it's going to be incredible. And we're proud of it, and we're proud of the Navy today.
Senator, I think the crew of the USS Minnesota's got more than a sponsor. It's like they have a mother for 137 crew members.
Exactly. We also have so many employers here from Minnesota, big companies, small companies, people that really want to take care of the sailors and take care of our country. We have that strong tradition. Ours is a state that wraps its arms around those that serve our country, and it's on full display today. Now, I will say we're not, you know, exactly an ocean state, but we do have Lake Superior and more than 10,000 lakes, like our license plate says. And my favorite fact that I wasn't able to use up there is we have more coastline in Minnesota because of our lakes than Florida, Hawaii, and California combined. So those sailors should be proud to be on the Minnesota.
Senator, the Twin Cities chapter of the Navy League really adopted this crew and boat, haven't they? Done a great job.
They really have. You can just see it. I was actually talking to some of the Navy leaders here today. They were saying how another state, I won't say it, a few years ago had one of these that they didn't have hardly any elected officials. They didn't have hardly any people. It was raining. And, you know, I think Minnesota just is able to bring it together. And, again, 92 years is a long time to wait.
A lot of Minnesotans here today on a historic day. We now have the USS Minnesota SSN 783 as part of the fleet.
It is a historic day and a day we're never going to forget. And I also think this is a tribute to the shipbuilders to be able to get this done 11 months ahead of time, under budget, on time. That's what we like to hear.
Senator, thanks for spending a few minutes with us today.
Well, thank you. It was great to be here.
That was Senator Amy Klobuchar at the commissioning of the USS Minnesota, Norfolk, Virginia. Thank you, Secretary of State.
So great to see you here. I know most Sundays you're there in Minnesota, but this is the right place to be today.
You're something of a historian and used to teach it. What about today? This is really history, isn't it?
Yes, and in fact, we have, as part of the ceremony today, items on loan from the original USS Minnesota, the wheel, the bell. In fact, pretty soon they're going to ring the bell, probably the first time in half a century that bell has ever been rung. We could have that. But the other thing about today is the chance for us, perhaps in a moment when our hearts are a little more open, because as a nation we're considering a very serious step, we had a chance to remember all of our nation's military history, the service of both those ships and all the people who were part of that, but also the heroic actions that those boats were part of. And I thought today's ceremony took that history and made it remind all in the audience of both where this ship stands in a long lineage, but also how we are preparing and investing in the future, because this is a really a boat that's about our future. The next 40 years, it'll be part of protecting us and projecting us. So today was both the past and the future, and it was a fabulous event.
Well, Mr. Secretary, now we've got a ship and a crew that we can adopt and keep track of for decades.
Yes, and enough Minnesotans on that crew that they also are now getting some notice in newspapers at home. So I think Minnesotans are not only recognizing, oh, we have a ship named after us, a submarine named for our state, but we have our young men and women here on this team. And the young officer who escorted me today was from Wisconsin. We spent a lot of time talking about how young men and women from the Midwest are getting that kind of excellent technical training, engineering and high science and technology training are who the Navy is looking for today. So having this sort of event also helps to lift up the visibility of the kinds of skills and educational preparation that's needed to make sure that we have not only the most advanced ships and submarines technologically, but that we have the young people trained and ready to then take those ships and make them the force in the world that we want them to be.
Mr. Secretary, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us today from Norfolk, Virginia, for the commissioning of the USS Minnesota.
I look forward to hearing this show on Sunday morning, and it's replayed on the internet, I know now.
Thank you, sir. It is. Now, Secretary of State Mark Ritchie from Norfolk, Virginia.
We now have the first vessel in the United States Navy since 1921 to be named after the state of Minnesota, and I encourage you to help put our arms around the USS Minnesota officers and crew for the next four decades of service in the fleet by participating with the Twin Cities Council of the Navy League to help bring the officers and crew to Minnesota as often as possible to show that we care about them on their missions under the Earth's oceans. Let's show them that we care, support them and their families, and keep them in our thoughts and prayers by helping and contributing to our local Navy League in the coming years. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this special edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests from the USS Minnesota this week, Captain John Fancher, Chief Mike Herman, Chief of the Boat Randy Reed, and those folks that we met up with in Norfolk, Senator Amy Klobuchar, Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, our special guests, Secretary of the Navy, the Honorable Ray Mavis, Commissioner Larry Shelado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we speak with Rasmussen College and learn about an upcoming resource fair. And we also check in with the World War II Roundtable to find out what's coming up. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at